That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Hey, good morning. It's time once again for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Coming to you live from the Radio Ranch, May 5th, 2012. Pour you a cup of coffee. Get your Bible out and join us, won't you? For Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We'll be right back after this.
And you're left alone to pay, the price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive, don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel.
It's gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And again, we offer out a good morning to all of you that have joined us here for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and we are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. I'll say good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you out there, and good morning to you, Jesus. We know and we believe your word. Where two or more are gathered in your name, there you are also. So we welcome you here as well. And I'll just put it out, whoever feels like opening up with prayer.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you, and we thank you for this opportunity. And right now, we just call upon the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us in the direction where to go. Pray that you give us the words to speak, and just pray that you guide us and direct us. Right now, we turn to you, and we just ask that you give us an extra dose of knowledge and understanding, that you give us more wisdom, that you give us more strength, energy, and just guide us and direct us, Father. We pray for your guidance, and we rely on the Holy Spirit in the days that we're living in to guide us and direct us, and to move us in the direction we're to go and what we're to do and what we're to say and how we're to conduct our affairs. We know that we serve the mighty and just God, Jesus Christ, and we are so grateful for that. And we're so grateful for the price that was paid so that we have access to your throne, for the healings that you grant us, for the answered prayers that you've granted us. Continue to grant us on a daily basis. Oh, Father, we're so thankful for the many times that you deliver us. There's times when we know that you deliver us, and we don't even know it. We don't thank you near enough for the deliverance that you continue to grant us on a regular basis, and we just want to come and thank you for the deliverance, the times that you've saved us, that you've had your hands there, that you've had your angels about us, picked us up, and brought us to safety. Oh, Father, we're so thankful for that, and we're thankful for the times that we're living in, Father, that you've allowed us to have the eyes to see and moved us into different places and that you continue to tend to your people each and every day, Father. We are so grateful for that, and we do ask that you continue to bless them and guide them and direct them. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Jason. And it is time for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. That's what you're listening to here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. It is the Ranch Wranglers. We have our coffee, we have our Bible, and after our prayer, who knows? I've got one verse, Bible verse, one partial Bible verse I'd like to start out with. And I think that if all people would just realize this, that it would certainly change the things they do, and certainly the things they don't do. And that's the very end of Psalm 62, the second half of verse 12. And it basically says, "For you recompense a man according to his work." And that means repay. And if our people would just realize that God does repay a man according to what he does, then I really think that the things that the men do, the things that we do as a people, would certainly be a little bit different.
You know,
I think that ties in really good with, I believe it would be Galatians 6, but it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." And, you know, if everybody took into account, you know, what, you know, that they're going to have to pay for their actions, you know, people would do things a lot differently.
Amen.
And really, if they say that they're going to believe God and that they're going to believe God and they're going to believe that he's going to punish sinners, but they don't flee from sin, then they really don't believe the Word of God.
That's a fact. In fact, I think they don't really believe that he's going to punish the sinners. You know, I mean, when it gets right down to it, because with true belief, you have action.
Yes.
But you have action and you have change and you have repentance.
Yeah.
And more than anything, it's with people. It's not that people have a problem with a baptism, but it's they have a hard time with the repentance. And you know, repentance is something is a change. It's not just saying, "I'm sorry." It's an emotion and it's a changing process. You make up your mind to quit doing things one way and start doing things another way.
It's true.
That it is.
Very good scripture, though. I mean, I agree 100%. That's where we're at. It's, you know, people need to recognize that actions, their actions, not only are they going to pay for it, but their families are going to pay for it. You know, and, you know, for men, you know, it follows, if the sins of the fathers go up to three generations, not only are you going to pay for your sins, but your children are going to pay for their sins, and your grandchildren are going to pay for your sins. And that's pretty strong right there. That's pretty powerful.
It is. It's almost gut-wrenching when you stop
and
think about it. Yep.
If you think about, I do this, it'd be one thing if I had to pay for my sins, you know, if I was going to be held accountable for it. But when you think about my children being held accountable for it, my grandchildren being held accountable for it, that tends to keep a person in line. You know, it's like, okay,
Well, I think that's the whole intention of it. Right, that's the whole idea. You know, God's a loving Father, and that's the whole idea of it, is for him to let, because he and he alone knows.
Well, the whole idea about it is he is a merciful God. And
right.
if I had to pay for my sins, boom, I'd be dead. But when the grace and the way our Heavenly Father works is he can spread it out over a generational period of three generations and make it where give people a chance. Because if they had to pay for their chance individually, everybody'd be wiped out.
Yeah, we would have been wiped out long ago.
And the next level of that is when your kids have something done to them, chastised, or whatever you want to call it, you immediately, as a father, at least I do. What did I do? Not to take the blame off what they did, but that's You know, that's where I always immediately go, where did I lack for this to happen? What did I do wrong for this to happen? And even if that's not even 100% correct to do that, because maybe you had absolutely nothing to do with it, maybe it was your father that had something to do with it, maybe it was just them that had something, what is wrong with that? You know, a little bit more repentance, a little bit more humbleness, a little bit more ashamed, you know, of things you did, you know, because you can't get around it. Nobody lives a perfect life, and some live a lot less perfect life than others. And I feel like I've been guilty of that part a lot of times in my life. And it is what you guys said about mercy and compassion and love of the Father in heaven that you got to turn to and not only ask for forgiveness for your forefathers, for your children, for yourself, but you realize that the spots or the rottenness that you've had in your life on your clothing, you know, your spiritual clothing, it needs cleansed, you know, not just at baptism, but repeatedly. That must be John blowing his nose. but it must be, you must repent not just that one time, you know, which people have a hard time doing, but, you know, continuously.
Yeah, it's an ongoing.
Right.
It's an ongoing problem.
All week, all hour, you know, I mean, every time you think about it, you know, I mean. And what father doesn't like to hear his children say, sorry, Dad, I knew better,
you
taught me better.
And more than just hearing, I'm sorry, it's
doing.
You want to change.
Yeah.
And I think that's what our Heavenly Father wants to see, too. It's not that we're coming back to Him saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
For the same thing every week, yeah.
Without changing.
And saying, I'm sorry for the same things over and over and over.
Right.
You know, that's one thing. But when we say, I'm sorry, I really screwed up, and then we strive or go the different direction or change our ways, that's what He wants.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
I found that scripture. It was Galatians 6, 7, and it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from his flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit eternal life. And, you know, I mean, that pretty much says it, but it is interesting that, you know, it starts off, be not deceived. I believe that it puts that in there right there for the times that we're living in, because there's so many people that are mocking God, saying, sin now and repent later.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and Kyle and I got to talking about this, I don't know, several months ago in Hebrews 10:26. It says, For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for our sin, but a terrifying expectation of judgment. So, you know, when people try to defend these homosexuals as their sin is the same as, you know, any other sin, like having anger in your heart against your brother and all that, all you got to do is show them this scripture here. It was kind of enlightening to me, and I like sharing that with people who try to justify some of these sins that people, you know, they continue to commit. Is there?
Oh yeah, we're.
they'll go to the point is instead of it saying, okay, you're not supposed to have anger against your brother, they'll go to the point of you're not supposed to have anger.
Yeah.
I mean that's really
that's not biblical.
No, it's not.
Especially against your enemy.
We're made in the image of God, and God gets angry. You know, we have the examples in the Bible. Certainly David, who was a man after a type of Christ, Certainly David had anger. And it just shows that these dirty birds in the pulpit, when you hear that kind of thing, that they show their hand. That's exactly what they, oh, sin, you know, don't be angry. You can't be angry, brother. They do. They show their hand. They show their lack of biblical understanding when they do that.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw the comical story yesterday, but yesterday was a day of prayer, and Obama Nation decided to keep it this year, even though last year he didn't. Gee, I wonder if that's got anything to do with an election year. Dumb goyim, dumb sheep sucked into it, but it's kind of funny. He says in here, let's see, let us pray for all the citizens of this great nation, particularly those who are sick, mourning, and without hope, and ask God for a sustenance to meet the challenges we face as a nation. May we embrace the responsibility we have to each other and rely on the better angels of our nature in service to one another. Let us be humble in our convictions and courageous in our virtue. Let us pray for those who are suffering around the world, and let us open the opportunities to ease that suffering. And then, let's see here. Something that was worse than that. Where's it at? Well, I'll go ahead and talk for a minute. I'll see if I can find it.
Well, you know,
I don't know if you guys saw that.
I didn't. But, you know, again, I think when you consider any prayer, you have to consider who it comes from.
Yeah, exactly.
And
who's he praying to? We know who's
he's praying to. And, you know, the intent behind it, you know. How many times do we read in the Bible, God says, I don't hear your prayers. I don't want to hear it. I don't want your solemn assemblies. I don't want your festivals. Your prayers fall on deaf ears time and time again, because it all depends on who's praying and how their heart is. And if they're right with God, if they are, as we said earlier today, repentant. Repentant. If they are repentant, if it's just to be like the Pharisees, to, and that's all this abomination is, to stand on the corner with his long tassels and so that the people can see him pray, and it's all about him, well, that's just an abomination to God. Another.
Well, and I don't even believe that they're praying to our God. I don't believe that they're praying to Jesus Christ. I think they're talking more about the God of the world. And when they have these prayers, I think that they're,
oh, you're,
that's who they're
right,
praying to, is the God of the world, who is Satan.
Yep.
It is.
Here we go.
But how many of
the
sheep,
comical part.
But how many of the sheep, John and Jason, will hear this and they'll say, see, he's a Christian. He's a Christian.
Oh,
people have said
he
was.
A couple more on say, oh, did you see that the president did it? And I said, yeah.
Exactly.
But you realize that he never mentioned the name Jesus Christ? He prayed to God. What's the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What does that tell you? There's more than one God. And they're like, huh, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Gee, I wonder who I learned that from. Anyways, so now, then, first he says that we humbly, you know, come before God, never before the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But anyways, humbly, yeah, right, what a joke. But anyway, now therefore, I, Barack Obama, I'll add a word, Barack Hussein Obama, that's not in there, but anyway, President of the United States of America, do hereby proclaim May 3rd, 2012 as a National Day of Prayer. I invite all citizens of our nation, as their own faith directs them, to join me in giving thanks for the many blessings we enjoy, and I call upon individuals of all faiths to pray for guidance, grace, and protection for a great nation as we address the challenges of our time. That's still not the one I was looking for.
See, is what they're trying to do. They're trying to bring in all the religions into one to have a one globalistic, one world order religion. And trying to tie it all together. And if they can get the people to come together in all different faiths and pray with one another, they're putting them all in agreement with one another.
And they promote tolerance.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Keep talking. I'm still looking.
Well, what comes to mind is there's 2 points. And the first point, I believe, is to keep people out of the kingdom of the real God.
Yes.
The true God.
Oh, yeah.
And the second point is to get them into Satan's kingdom. And whether you believe there's a Satan's kingdom or not, there is a Satan's kingdom. And, you know, there's so many angles at keeping the people, the remnant, if you want to call them that, or whoever you want to call it, from redemption, from salvation, from, you know, and one of them is the name issue. That's why you don't hear the name of Jesus Christ. Because just that alone, there is salvation in the name, it says. So just that alone, you know, making the name gone or against the rules or against the law, whatever you want to say, that keeps people from redemption and salvation. You know, obviously what we were talking about earlier, keeping people away from works of righteousness keeps them from salvation. Keeping them from, there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. You know, I mean, all these things pertain to keeping people from entering the kingdom of God, because Satan doesn't want you in the kingdom, because for one, you all of a sudden you'll be able to see things you didn't see before, because there's a light bulb that comes on when you enter the kingdom of God. You know, you see the kingdom, and you know, and then you, if you see the kingdom, you'll act on what you see. You'll become the salt of the earth and the light to the world, and they hate that. You know what I mean? And then there's the other aspect that we need to talk about too, and that is they, like Jason was saying, they want us all in a one world type government, you know, where we're all serving Baal, even though we don't know we're serving Baal. That's basically what it all gets down to, and the God of this world, Satan, is in charge of that system.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, you also get those that have a little bit of saltiness on the back, and they see this going on, and they make up their mind that they don't want to have anything to do with this garbage, because that's exactly what it is, garbage. And they completely turn their back on all religion.
Yeah.
Because they see the hypocrisy involved in this.
Good point.
Amen.
Well, what's interesting is they show a picture of Obama from his shoulders up, you know, with his hands folded and his head bowed. But what they don't show you is the prayer rug and him facing the east.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, and they don't show you the teleprompter or tell you how many writers it took to write his prayer to his Baal God.
Well, you can bet.
Well, listen to this, though. Here's the part I was looking for. Sorry to interrupt you, but listen to this and then tell me what you think, because I don't think his prayer writers did a real good job. But anyways, he's trying to be, you know, appease everyone. On this National Day of Prayer, we give thanks for our democracy that respects the beliefs and protects the religious freedoms of all people to pray, worship, or abstain according to the dictates of their conscience. Let us pray for all the citizens in our great nation, particularly, yeah, so that's the part I wanted to read, for our democracy. And then, when have you ever heard a National Day of Prayer for those who abstain from prayer?
Well, wow. That pretty much
I think it's
it.
Awesome.
They enter,
yeah.
Like Kyle said, they enter not into the kingdom, and they do all they can to keep out.
I think we should pray for people's eyes to be open to this, and for them to see him as the terror that he is.
That's what I've been doing, that not one is deceived by these antichrists.
Because if we continue to, I think that's, you know, one thing that you know, we need to continue to pound away at is pray for the eyes of our people to be open. You know, we got a lot of them out there that are just indoctrinated, and you know, as these terrorists become bolder and bolder, and there's the separation going on. There's going to be a lot of them, their eyes opening.
Amen. Did you see Obama's new slogan? You guys see Obama's new slogan? Instead of hope this year, it's forward. isn't that a pretty
that sounds like a communist bastard marching forward.
Yeah, exactly. Huh. That's comical.
Well, and it is very interesting. You see all the communistic similars going on right now, and it was quite interesting. I don't know, did anybody catch the story about Russia threatening to bomb that European missile defense system that Obama is the one that was behind building?
I saw that. It was headline on Fox for Thursday and Friday, I think. And
yeah, that was interesting because first of all, we got two things going on. Is we got Russian troops coming into the United States, Colorado, believe it or not, doing joint military maneuvers with the army and military, and talking about doing responding to terrorist threats and raiding gun shows and that sort of thing. So we've got joint maneuvers with Russians in Colorado, California, and in parts of Florida. And then we have Russia threatening to blow our missile defense systems that we've set up in Europe out of existence. I mean, what's wrong with this picture?
Hasn't Russia long said that if anybody comes against Iran, that they would come to Iran's aid? Because don't they get most of their oil? And that's how I kind of read that. You know, I certainly don't keep up with the world events as much as I would like to, but that's how I read it, was that I thought behind the scenes that the U.S. and Israel must be really pushing to come in on Iran. I think I saw some stuff a month or two ago that the Israelis, emphasis on the lie, had been putting out that they wanted to put off their bombing and invasion of Iran, or at least the bombing of it, until after the Madonna concert that was scheduled in Israel. And I think that was scheduled for today, wasn't it? I know it's ludicrous, but I remember seeing that a month or two ago, right after the Super Bowl, when she performed at the Super Bowl, and then that she, you know, that they wanted to have her come and perform.
Okay, we have a concert on Thursday, so let's have a bombing on Friday.
Sure.
Let's hold the bombing off that was scheduled for Tuesday and schedule it for Friday or Saturday.
That's not Babylon, is it?
No. So, but anyway, that's just how I kind of read this with the Russians, was that, you know, they were bringing something up, saying, hey, listen, you know, we told you last year we're not happy with this missile system. And if you continue on with it, we may just blow it up.
Wow.
And, I just kind of...
Two words come to mind. Red Dawn.
Yeah, exactly. Well, did anybody ever read the book, A Blueprint for Survival?
Not the whole thing.
It was interesting. That book was written in 1972. And it was had quite a bit of stuff on, you know, just things to come, things to be prepared for. And it was interesting because in there they had a big section on, and one of the things was get a shortwave radio and find a Christian pastor on there and start listening to what the pastor says on shortwave radio. And this was in the 70s, and then he lays out different things that were to come and were to happen. And their final thing before a attempted takeover of the United States was, he said, watch for the gun control. Gun control is going to be gun control in a Russian invasion. When you see Russian troops and you see them going after the guns, that's the last thing that they're going to do. And if you look down through the timeline of what they laid out, everything's happened. I mean, it's
just
kind of interesting.
You're just a conspiracy theorist, Jason.
I know.
Me too.
But, It was quite interesting, and you know, I mean, I've talked to a couple people about, you know, these Russian troops. I mean, Russian troops have never been training. I mean, as my knowledge, I didn't know they were our allies.
Well,
they're threatening to blow us up on the newspaper.
Well, not that NATO's our ally, but they're not even a member of NATO.
Exactly.
I mean, we've had NATO.
What's wrong with this?
Yeah, we've had NATO troops come in and do training, you know, on the America-Canadian border and in different places. But, Yeah, but not Russian troops. That's like having
You don't have enough love in your heart.
That's like having.
I got a lot.
Isn't that
of
like
love
having Chinese troops come over and train with us?
Yeah, exactly. That's next week.
I guess so.
I mean, what's the difference, though?
Well, one speaks Chinese, one speaks Russian. That's about it, I think.
I think that's about it. That's the point.
But they're all moving forward.
Yeah, they're moving forward, all right, with their one world order, their world agenda.
We're gonna do a mock setup and do a practice run on Raiding a Gun Show.
Yeah, no, and that's the Tanner one in Denver. They said they're gonna do an anti-terrorist practice on a gun show, and they mentioned the Tanner Gun Show down in Denver.
Do you think they're going to tell the people at the gun show this? You know?
Oh, man.
You know, it's like, John, you mentioned here, a few months ago about the, I don't know if it was on Coffee or in Sunday School, but about the story that's gone around about over in Soviet Russia back in the communist days, when communism was just there and hadn't spread everywhere else. About the people that were practicing Christianity had to do it and in secret. And so here two guys, burst in with machine guns and say, anybody not willing to take a bullet for Christ better leave now. And so half the people leave. And then they put their guns down and say, okay, now the fake people are out. Now we can really worship. And they worship Christ with them. And, somebody had sent me that, what would you do? And I said, well, when the guns came through the door, those people would probably get shot first thing. So
I wouldn't try that at our church.
Don't try that at our church. And, if you see, there's, even over the last several years, there's been several church shootings, but whether it's the most recent, that black church down in Tampa, St. Pete, Florida area, I think it was, or no, it was actually down in the Denver area just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
Aurora,
I believe.
They've had church shootings over the last few years, but the people are shooting back. Down in Aurora, you had an off-duty policeman that was there, and he chased the guy out and killed him in the parking lot. You had the shootings down in Colorado Springs just a couple years ago, same thing. And, that's just encouraging to me, not that they're having the church shootings, but that the people aren't like they were at Virginia Tech where they just line up, and cry and say, shoot me. That they are at least standing up in that aspect. And hopefully that's a start for them standing up, not only to not getting shot, but standing up to the lies and the deceitfulness that's coming to them from this ungodly government.
Yep. Well, as we get back to this Islam thing, which we know our president follows, but anyways, the scripture I read last Sunday in Ezekiel 8, in verse 16, it says, then he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the entrance of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs to the temple of the Lord, and their faces towards the east, and they were prostrating themselves eastward toward the sun. Well, the way I read that, if you read it earlier, it says, greater abominations than this you will see. Well, I think one of the biggest abominations to the Lord is that as they follow after these false gods, and to me, I believe it's the preachers of this country too that are now even preaching that Allah and Jesus Christ are the same God. So I think when they talk about them facing the east and prostrating themselves towards the sun, that's the Muslims, the ones that have turned to be follow the Muslim faith.
I agree. They completely destroyed or changed or perverted what their God is. And it doesn't even have to be those that turn and serve these other gods. It's those that say you can serve any God.
Right.
They're tolerant.
I just thought it was interesting. It kind of clicked in my mind last Sunday, what that meant.
That's a good point.
You know, how you read things several times and you get different meanings.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? It is an ever-living living word, and it's like, you know, you can read a scripture 10 times, and the 11th time it'll mean something completely different than it did the last 10 times you read it.
Yeah.
It is
kind
a living word.
Yeah. So, take a sip of coffee.
Coffee time.
And that's what it is, folks. That's what you're listening to. Coffee Time with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And it's on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. You can listen to us on shortwave. WTWW is the shortwave station. Our frequencies, 5.755 and 9.485. I think I've got those right. And either morning or night, we're on one of those. You can also listen to us 24/7. At our websites. The ministry website is scripturesforamerica.org. You can also go to the network website, where we have a complete broadcast schedule posted there daily, and a nice little link where you can listen to any of those programs throughout the day. And that network website is sfawbn.com. That's sfawbn.com. And our address, if you don't like computers, you're just, like Jason said, got you a shortwave in the 70s and still tuning in, well, you can still write to us. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766. That's 766. La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And if you are listening on shortwave, you send us in a report, we'll send you a little card back. We'd be glad to communicate with you. A lot of shortwave listeners like those QSL cards, and we'd be glad to send you one and start a communication with you. So you can
Sure would appreciate people listening to shortwave to send in responses and let us know, you know, if there is issues or how the signal is and all that, so we can kind of keep the shortwave station in check as well. So.
Amen. If you remember when we went to WTWW several years ago, We did put that request out. We asked, and boy, did we get the responses. We got responses from listeners that lived in Germany, from listeners that lived in Switzerland, in Japan, in Russia, way down in South America, from all over the world, as well as America, new people in America and Canada, down in Australia. And
well, I'm putting that out again. So those of you that are listening on shortwave, if you would please send us a response, I'd appreciate it. Make sure that we're good stewards of what the Lord gives us to work to try to spread the gospel. And if there's something going on with that, we need to know and fix the problem. So,
amen. Amen.
Did you anybody happen to see that Dan Rather story this week?
No, I missed it.
Oh, Dan Rather was talking about how he got canned, and just the headlines. I mean, the headlines of the story says so much. And the headline was Dan Rather on George W. Bush report. We reported a true story. That's why I no longer am with CBS News. And that just
sometimes
that's hilarious.
Sometimes they slip up and put the truth out. And when that happens,
and I think that makes probably two stories that CBS reported the truth on.
Yeah, good point. That's funny.
It's I don't know, so much stuff going on anymore. It's just yeah, it's exciting times.
That it is. Kyle?
Yes, sir.
Fall asleep over there.
No, I'm good. I'm thinking, you know, talking about shortwave and everything, the joy that Elijah had to feel when God let him know that he had 7,000 men out there that had not bowed. Because, you know, he thought he was alone.
Yeah.
And it is, when you stop and think about it, you know, God always has his remnant. I mean, yes, it's our job to be the salt of the earth and the light to the world, but God keeps his remnant. There's a good 7,000 men out there that haven't bowed their knee to Baal, and I'm quite confident there's more than that, but there's the amount God wants. Let's just put it that way, you know. And there's the amount that can do God's work. So it's kind of an encouraging thought.
Yeah, what's interesting is some people just say, "Well, oh, did you hear brother so and so or sister so and so has fallen away? You know, at least from the ministry or whatever." And you start to think, it's like, wow, I wonder what's going on there. But then you remember, hello, we asked for God to prune the vine, you know, to remove those that don't want to be part of the remnant. And so we say, praise God. That's all you know.
Well, it's a continued pruning process, too. You prune the vine, and then you can bring forth more productive fruit.
And exactly, and that's what's happening. So now we're in the springtime, and now we pray that those that are God's eyes be open, the scales be removed, and
there's a growth coming. I mean, I can feel it. I mean, there's a growth coming. You know?
Well, we're experiencing growth now. You know, there's not a day that doesn't go by that we don't get a new either a phone call or multiple phone calls, emails, letters in that say, "Hey, I heard you on shortwave," or "My friend told me about your ministry," or "I heard you on Wednesday night prayer meeting." You know, and the growth is continually there. It sure is. The foundation was built by our pastor, and it was built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, and we continue to build on that foundation. And as long as we do that, God will continue to grow the ministry, and He will continue to have His word put out.
Greater is He that is for us than those that are against us, that's for sure.
Amen. Yeah, just go along with what you just said, Richard. I was reading, I think it's 1 Corinthians 3, where it talks about Paul and Apollos, you know. It says, Paul's speaking here. He says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." You know, and that's what we're doing here. We're trying to build or to water. Let's put it that way.
Right.
You know, on what's already been planted. You know, and Pastor Peters did that. You know, I mean, Christ the foundation, you know, Christ is the cornerstone, the apostles were the foundation, you know, and He built upon that, you know, and He planted seeds, you know. I happen to be one of the seeds.
Me
Richard,
too.
We're all one of the
we
seeds, you know, and it just needs watered, you know, and we do that by the Word of God.
Amen. You know, it is, like Kyle said, springtime, and I'm trying to grow some sunflowers. The children and I have planted a bunch of sunflower seeds and been doing the same thing, watering them, put them out in the sunshine during the day, bring them in because it's still getting down in the 30s at night. And you, just like the Bible says, some seeds bring forth good fruit, some 100, some 60, some 10, and it's just the exact same way with those seeds. You know, some are up, some of those sunflowers are up 2 to 3 inches, nice and tall and really starting to grow. Some have just barely broken out, and some haven't come up at all. And isn't that the way it is? You know, but we continue to water, we continue to put them out in the sun, like you said there from Corinthians, just as the disciples did. You know, there might have been seeds planted years ago that finally those people tuned back in. You know, I've seen that many times. Finally, they tuned back in. You know, I heard this back years ago and wanted to check back, and now I need to get baptized.
Yeah.
You know, we've had baptisms going on out in Connecticut and in Missouri and down at the church. And so we do that. We continue to water. We continue to put out the true water, the Word of God, and God will provide the increase, and He does.
Amen. I don't know if you guys saw this, but remember we talked about that Jessica Alba or whatever that fought that lukewarm prayer in that high school in Rhode Island? Well, now they're going after World War One and World War Two memorial there in another small town in Rhode Island. But the good news is there's thousands of people, Christians and veterans, that are saying, no, let that be a lesson to everyone all across this country. It's real easy, like our pastor taught us. You put your tongue on the roof of your mouth, and you just say no. And that's what we need to get back to in this country.
And no means? What's no mean?
It doesn't mean maybe.
And it doesn't mean come back and ask me in 10 minutes what I think of it either, or tomorrow, or don't send an email. Just it means no. That's the way it is. Take it or leave it.
And you judges that overturn the will of the people, just remember you'll be judged too someday by the chief counselor. So it's exciting times, gentlemen.
Amen.
Keeps you on your knees praying, that's for sure.
It does.
There's no lack of things to pray for and against.
Yeah, that's for sure.
We will ask for prayers for our upcoming Branson Conference. Today is May 5th, and it's coming up the end of the month, 1st of June. June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in beautiful Branson, Missouri. And rest assured, we're going ahead full steam for that. We have the schedule worked out, speakers. We've got everything set up, beautiful hotel, good owners at the hotel. We'd ask you to pray for them as well. And just keep it in your prayer that God will bring there who he wants there and that he will keep away those that do not come to worship him in truth and in spirit, that do not come in the name of Jesus Christ or that might come for nefarious purposes. But I'm sure looking forward to it. Me, my whole family is. I think at least all the people from the church that get to go are looking forward to it. And talking with the many people that are coming from anywhere from North Carolina to Kentucky, we've got people coming from Florida. We've got at least one or two families coming from California. And so we are really looking forward to a good weekend of worship and praise, biblical teaching, and we do so unashamed.
Amen. And I don't know if you guys remember, you probably do, but one of our Branson meetings last year with the pastor at the church, a few weeks before we went, I asked him, can we escort some of the tears or some of the troublemakers out this year that we didn't escort out the year before, who caused a little bit of problems? He said, I have no problem with that. And we're going to uphold that. If you come to cause discord in the body of Christ, we will escort you out.
Or division or anything else.
Absolutely.
Here's what I was thinking, or at least the Lord gave me this thought. Whoever gets there first, anoint the place, anoint the doorpost and the lintel of the assembly hall and the motels, whatever. And pray like Pastor taught us, that
Amen.
The Lord would install check angels here, and no one will enter that does not belong to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. And
the
and
same
what,
tradition we do at the church today.
Right. And one of the things we've done is there's a registration form you have to fill out. If you haven't registered, sorry. If you've been on the ministry 25 years and you haven't registered, sorry. If you've been on the ministry a year and you haven't registered, we need to have your registrations in. We need to know who's wanting to come, and we're going to hold to that.
Yep, we're not playing church.
No, this is the real thing. It truly is.
I know we've said it before, and Dad said it before. This may be the last Branson, but with the writing on the wall, with churches proclaiming for homosexuality and for abortion, it leads me to believe more and more that we're closer than ever. So it may be. It truly really may be the last Branson.
It is. You know, we don't read about it in the Bible. I don't know if any of the other writings talk about it, but you know, you think places like Sodom and Gomorrah did that? They certainly had churches and temples and all those type things in their land.
Yeah.
And you think that was one of the last things they did, was just openly promote the homosexuality and the sin and the tolerance. Oh, that we, you know, I can see on their billboards. Oh, just pray to whoever you want to. Just pray. As long as you pray to whoever you feel led to, or don't pray if that's how you feel led. I could see that on some of their stone billboards there in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, and
right
no different than the days of Noah.
Right.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
At the end of every age, it gets like that. You know,
it does.
There's,
and guess what? We have gotten like that.
Yeah.
We are
yeah.
just like it was in the days of Noah, eating and drinking, giving and taking in marriage. And God is, if he's on the burner at all, it's back burner, or it's a different God. And it's just like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. There are certainly towns that we would probably be hard-pressed to find 50 or even 10 righteous.
Yeah. California.
We are in those days again.
Yeah, the interesting thing is, you know, we talk about this before, but I've really been looking into it a little bit, is that public law 97-280, and that was less than 30 years ago that we were basically, they declared, both houses of Congress declared the Bible, the year of the Bible, and that the Bible was the Word of God. But here we are.
Our people should study it and apply it to their lives.
Yeah, but, you know, I show that to people all the time, and they're like, no way, you know, and then you show it to them, like, wow, how's that possible?
Uh-huh. Well, a pastor used to talk about that he would mention it and say, what do you think? Why don't we do this? Why don't we appeal to Congress and get them to declare a year, the year of the Bible, and that the Bible's the Word of God, and the people should read it and apply it and all that? And the people would say, no way, we can't do that. That wouldn't work. And it's like, too bad, it's already been done.
Yeah,
I remember, and that's one of my favorite messages, is when he went down to Colorado Christian University down in Denver. And speaking at the Christian University, and he asked for a call of hands on, he said, how many people here think that we should pass a law that says that the Bible is the Word of God and that the statutes in it should be followed? And hardly anybody raised their hand.
He's talking to a Christian university.
Uh-huh. And he said, well, it's already been done. And he brought up public law 97-280 and made it available to him. And I don't think anybody wrote for it.
No, I don't. I don't remember him saying that anybody did.
And that was, you know, it was quite interesting. But, you know, that was Christians 10 years ago. It was probably 10 years ago that he preached down there.
Hey, Richard, I think I figured out what we should put in that school publication next time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
We can replace
public law 97-280.
We can get two pages.
We can do
it. Yeah, two pages. Let's do that.
And if you're not familiar with what John's talking about, the Pastor Peters did an end run on the public education system here in at least this state, and was able to buy an ad, and it was not a cheap ad, but we've continued it. For the last, I think we've done it at least 3 years, in an anti-drug magazine that goes into all the public schools from the middle schools on up, and we've continued to put a half-page ad in there of the Ten Commandments. And so when they get this magazine in the schools, they have the Ten Commandments in the public schools. And so maybe we'll that sure be an option. Maybe we'll add that next year, and to let them know. I mean, it's our civic duty to let our citizens know the public laws that are there.
Yeah. You know, we should be doing that all across the country, too. Those of you listening, if there is something like that available and you can get them to agree to that, let us know what it would cost to do that, because I just don't think there's a better way to spread it, the truth, than to put that into the schools. We're getting the Ten Commandments back into the schools, and it's got to enrage our enemies.
Well, guys, another Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers is winding down. We've got about 5 minutes left, so just to let you know, if you had any closing thoughts or things that you sure wanted to get out and share with the people, now's the time to do that.
I had one, but it slipped away.
Oh, we are living in exciting times, and I don't know, for this family here, we had a great day this week when we celebrated baby Rachel's fifth birthday.
And,
amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Answered prayer, and we were so thankful for that. There was a battle that went on, and a lot of folks out there took a part in that and really played a part in saving her life. And we're just thankful to our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, for the deliverance that he gave time and time again. And It was a faith builder for a lot of people, and she's doing just fantastic. And I want to say thanks to the saints that were out there that heard the call and assisted us in fighting off the wolves.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Pastor, too, for having the insight to know how to Amen. Fight that war.
Well, close my thoughts with word of scripture here. 1 John 15-18. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now, there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time.
Amen. Great scripture.
And where's that scripture found?
1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 18.
And what do you do because it's the last time? I'll close with one out of Romans 6. What shall we say then? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Knowing that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. And then Romans 6:8, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death is no longer master over him. And that's how we come out of that kingdom. And that's how we can have death no longer master over us, and no longer something for us to fear.
Yeah, you know what, if I got a minute here, but if you read actually through the whole, that public law, 97-280, it's kind of interesting that one of the statements here is, whereas this nation now faces great challenges that will test this nation as it has never been tested before, and whereas that renewing our can strengthen us as a nation and as a people, now therefore be it. The interesting thing is, faces greater challenge than this nation has ever faced before. And this was in 83.
Well, we've certainly faced greater challenges since 83, and I think greater challenges are coming to the nation and to the nation's people.
Right. 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Amen. Well, we thank all of you out there for joining us. Again, the program is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you on Scriptures for America. Our address, Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. We invite you to church tomorrow. Come to church with us, scripturesforamerica.org.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make 'em health and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move 'em out, head 'em off, head 'em off. Move 'em out, move 'em out, head 'em off, stay high.
Ride 'em out, ride 'em more, ride 'em more, ride 'em out, ride 'em out, ride 'em more.
Stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride 'em more, ride 'em more, ride 'em out, ride 'em out,
ride 'em more, snake hide.
on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, marking will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.